Let's take our Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 15 through 21, and then we will get right into our message. We're doing a series now on the Holy Spirit of God since the beginning of the year, and the last two messages, this message is going to tie into those two messages because we're still talking about how the Holy Spirit takes us from here in our spiritual walk with God to the next level and to the next level and to the next level. The Spirit of God is God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit has a part in our sanctification. The Son of God has a part. The Father has a part. And so we're focusing on the Spirit's part. Two messages ago, I talked about how the Bible's like a mirror. And we look into the mirror of the Word of God. And we see Christ. And we're transformed into His likeness that we see in the mirror of the Word of God. It's supernatural. It's a miracle. It's God's work. We don't make ourselves holy. It's a supernatural miracle. Neither I, nor you, nor anyone on earth that's a believer in Christ can go from here to there spiritually by willpower. I don't care if you've got the greatest willpower in the world. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? This body I'm living in is killing me. It's killing me." Because you know why? We have the old nature in there still. And the old nature says to do all the things that our new nature doesn't want us to do. But God's Spirit is the power that overcomes it. It's by His power and His help. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start with verse 15. "See then," now that's connecting to what he said before. Of course, in the first three chapters of Ephesians, we get all of our beliefs as Christians. In the next three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, we get our behavior. Beliefs and behavior. Doctrine and duty. You get the idea. All right? So he's saying, "See then, in light of this, that you walk circumspectly." Now, we don't talk like that anymore, but that phrase right there, "See then that you walk circumspectly," basically means, be careful about how you live. Be careful about how you live. See, we got to be careful about it. Circumspectly means being careful. You need to walk. Whenever you see walk in the Bible, you need to walk the walk. It means your life. How do you live? How do you behave? Walk, the walk in the Bible is your behavior. "See that you walk carefully." And then he says, "Not as fools." In fact, if you read the rest of Ephesians, he gives you a list of the foolishness that believers engaged in their days without Christ. And then he says, "I don't want you to live as fools, but as wise. I want you to be wise. Redeeming the time." What does that mean? Using your time that you have on earth productively. Use it productively. Hey, you've got X amount of time to live on this earth, okay? And we need to use it productively. Now again, that doesn't mean that every single second of your life you've got to be witnessing to somebody, or you got to be reading your Bible, or you got to be praying. Obviously, there are times where you glorify God by doing hard work around the house. You glorify God by going out on the job and working hard for your boss. Because the Bible says we aren't really, our true boss isn't our boss, right, Gerald? Our true boss is God Almighty. You serve the Lord Christ. And so when we, whatever we're doing, we're on a phone call, we need to redeem the time. And it's this is such a great passage. "Use your time productively because the days are evil," and indeed they are. They were that way when Paul was writing this, and they continue to be that way today. Evil, evil times around us. Therefore, in light of this, since the days are evil, don't be unwise. Don't be a fool. Don't live like a fool. Don't talk like a fool. Don't act like a fool. Because You need to understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay? Well, he starts talking to us about the will of the Lord. Do not be drunk with wine. See? Ephesus was in Asia Minor, very pagan. What were they used to? They grew up getting drunk all the time. And Paul says, look, no more. Okay? No more drunkenness. Okay? And again, this isn't a prohibition against drinking. It's a prohibition against letting alcohol take over. I mean, look. Hey, everybody, look. One day, we're going to drink with Jesus. Okay, Jesus says, I'm not going to drink this wine until I drink it again in my Father's kingdom. So, you know, there will be alcohol consumption in the kingdom. But again, there won't be any drunkenness. And if there is, it will be severely punished when Jesus is on the throne in Jerusalem. All right, so God, Paul's coming in here and he's saying, don't be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. Okay, we're going to talk about that in the message, but that's a fancy word. It simply means recklessness, senseless thinking. When people get drunk, guess what? They do things they probably wouldn't do when they were sober. Did you hear me? When people get inebriated and they can't walk, and they've drank too much wine or whatever, they not only can't walk physically correctly, they can't walk spiritually correctly. They don't say the right things. They don't think the right thoughts. They don't behave with the right behavior. And so Paul is very, very clear that he doesn't want God's people to be drunk with wine, which is reckless. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's very important. You know what? Because Paul, we're not going to talk about it today. It's not the sermon today. Paul's later going to go on to say here, right? Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. And you know what? What he begins to do is he begins to teach God's people how to submit. You know what? In days gone by, they've made marriage out to be the man is the dictator, and the woman is just the quiet. No, it says we're submitting to one another in the fear of God, respect for God. And Paul goes on to describe what that looks like. He says, "Listen, it happens with husbands and wives. It happens with parents and children. It happens with bosses and their employers and their employees. Employers and their employees. There's a mutual submission there. When it's all one-sided." And people are getting abused and getting manhandled and getting verbal put-downs and everything. When it's all that, that's not God's will. It's mutual. It's going both directions. So it's not like the woman in the home can't make a suggestion. I'm the leader. I call the shots here. You get the idea? No. That is not when Paul said, wives, submit to your husbands. That doesn't mean, oh, the husband gets to be a dictator. No. Because the wife may say, hey, dummy. That's in the Greek. That's in Greek. Hey, dummy, if you do that, we're going down the tubes. If you don't have that in your home, man, your house is going to be so weak if the man can't listen. Listen, Kelly in our home has completely, in these last, going to be 37 years in May. I can't believe it's been, I almost didn't get the year right. 37 years. Okay, in 37 years, she has just transformed yours truly. Because you know why? I was willing to listen to her. And she saved me, especially during driving school, which is every day. Look out! Watch out! Slow down! Okay. So, you know, I'm like, Look, Kelly, I'm only doing 100. Come on. Just... Anyway, okay. So, I want to start with an illustration. We've got a man here with a pitcher of water. We've got a cup, and we're going to call him Mr. Water. Now, that's kind of strange. I'm sure there are a lot of people whose name is Water, but it just sounds strange. But that's Mr. Water, and he has a pitcher of water, and he's going to pour a glass of water. Okay? Now, if... I'll put the next slide up here. And if we say, be filled with water, because we're talking about today about the filling of the Holy Spirit, right? If we say this in English, be filled with water, or we could say be filled by water, we're talking about content. Water is the content that's going in the cup, okay? Be filled with content. The water is the content there. The water isn't the agent, but if we put this slide up here, be filled by water. Well, obviously, we all know in English, capital W. Hey, did you know when I was learning German last summer, I found out all the nouns in German. When you're reading German, every time they use a noun like boy, man, woman, church, they're always capitalized. Man, talk about that. That's tough. But anyway, so nonetheless, but it does come in handy in some ways. But anyway, but when we English readers read this, be filled by water, water isn't the content. Water is the agent that's doing the pouring. Cup, be filled by Mr. Water. So water there doesn't mean content. Water means be filled by the guy holding the pitcher. And you know, it's very simple in English when we read these things. But when we get to Ephesians 5:18, they translated in our English Bibles, be filled with the Spirit. Now again, in Greek, Spirit can be little s, like be filled with a great spirit, have a great spirit attitude, or capital S. Well, the context is pretty clear that it's big S, Holy Spirit. But the word with is very unfortunate. Today, we're going to talk about, and this is the title that I've given to the message, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What does be filled with the Spirit mean in Ephesians 5:18? Now watch this. We're talking about Ephesians 5:18 because there are places in Acts where it says over and over, many times, and so-and-so was filled with the Spirit and he spoke with boldness. In Acts, in the Old Testament, when the Spirit came upon people, like the Spirit came upon Samson, you know, he just became super strong. Okay, that's not the same as Ephesians 5 here. In those cases, my mentor that I sat at his feet for over 20 years, he was the Greek professor at Dallas Seminary. He and I were very close. He says that in Acts, the filling of the Spirit, where all of a sudden the Spirit came down on new Christians, and all of a sudden they began to do things that were unbelievable. Speaking, leading people to Jesus, doing miracles. Okay, when that filling of the Spirit, he said that was essentially equivalent. I can think of the equal sign in my brain. That filling of the Spirit is equal with what's called divine inspiration. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor Bob? I mean this. They're standing there in the marketplace, and it says they were filled with the Spirit. It means the Holy Spirit literally came down upon them and began to give them the very words to say. The very words. Divine inspiration. Because the Bible wasn't written yet. The Bible, they didn't have Bibles they carried around. Okay? So the Holy Spirit would come upon them and fill them, and they would have, listen, it's like they were writing scripture essentially as they talked to people. They were giving God's very words. That's very different than this, what we're talking about here, where Paul's telling people, be filled with the Spirit. And so I hope that when you leave today, you'll go, I get it. Okay. It's clear now. And so that's what we're hoping for. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get right into this. Three issues. They're not very long. And then a story, and we'll close. Father in heaven, we pray that this will be very, very enlightening to people, very encouraging, and that, Lord, it'll be simple and easy to understand, that it won't be complicated and nobody will be like, what? That they'll understand. So, Holy Spirit, we need you. We need your ministry. And we just ask that you would do great things in our lives and help us to understand this and help us to know what this looks like, too, as before we leave here today. And we pray this in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Okay. Now, I'm going to say a few words about, looks like my laptop here isn't cooperating. There we go. All right, come up. Okay, good. Now, every day I'll pick up the newspaper. Actually, I pick up my iPad because I have the Dallas Morning News digital. It comes up on my iPad. I like it. You know what? You say, Bob, why do you like that? Because I can make the letters that big. You know what? I can sit 5 feet away from the dumb thing and just read the newspaper. It's fantastic. And you know what? I don't have to turn to page 12 where it continues. You know how you have to do that? You read in page 1, they make you go to page 12. This thing, it just gives you the whole article right there. It's fantastic. Well, anyway, I've been doing that for years. Well, this is what's unbelievable. Nearly every day, in the inside page, the next page, you open the metro section and you turn the page. Down at the bottom, they have the latest safety briefs from Dallas. What happened yesterday in Dallas? Well, nearly every day, somebody gets killed or kills somebody else because they've been driving drunk somewhere in Dallas. Nearly every day. If it's not that, somebody's been in one of those strip clubs on I-35, they get drunk. At 3 o'clock in the morning, they're so drunk, they say, I can make it across that highway. I'm not kidding. It just blows me away. Like every 3 days, a man, 42, ran across I-35 and was flattened. 6 cars ran him over and he didn't make it. Happens all the time. Why? Alcohol. 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 And again, alcohol is not evil because the Bible says wine, God gave humanity wine to make men's and women's hearts glad. Okay? Now again, there's a difference between having a glad heart because a drink of wine settled you down a little bit and having 4 glasses of wine. That's a big difference. God wants us to be happy, but he doesn't want addiction, drunkenness, alcohol. He doesn't want alcohol addiction. He doesn't want people driving drunk. He doesn't want drunkenness at all. And so that's why he starts off here that you are not to be drunk with wine, which is recklessness. In fact, one of the main Greek dictionaries, when you look up that word dissipation in that Greek dictionary, behavior which shows lack, whoops, what happened there? Did it come up? Okay, behavior which shows lack of concern or thought for the consequences of an action. Senseless deeds. Don't be drunk with wine. That's a senseless deed. You're stupid to do that. It's senseless. You're endangering your own life. You're endangering others' lives. How many times do drunken drivers drive and they kill a wife and 3 children, and the poor dad's got 2 other kids he's got to raise without the mom and the other kids in the family because a van got run into because people drank beyond what God intended. Senseless deeds, reckless deeds, recklessness. That's right out of the Greek dictionary. So when you read that, don't be drunk with wine, because if you are, you're thinking senselessly. You're thinking like a fool. That's reckless. Reckless thinking and reckless behavior. Okay, so you get me. Okay, Pastor Bob, we get you. Okay, well, let's continue on here. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is recklessness, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, he says, I don't want you drunk, but I do want you to be filled with the Spirit. But does that really mean, like wine comes into your body, we want the Spirit to be filled in your body. Just like a drunken person fills himself up with wine, God wants you to be filled up with the Spirit. No. That's not what it means. And I'm going to prove it to you, okay? The big problem here is with this word, if, okay? I mean, it's with this word, with, okay? That's the big problem. And we're going to look at that this morning because that's a bad translation into our English, okay? So, now, we're going to do 3 issues today, okay? We're going to do 3 issues. Issue number one is this. Is this filling that we read about here, is this filling active or passive? Are you the agent? Are you doing the filling? Or are you being filled by something or someone else? That's what active means. Active in our language, in the active voice in the English language, means you do the action upon the direct object, okay? The verb, the direct object. Okay, you're doing the action, okay? And the passive voice means it's being done upon you or for you. So you get the idea there, okay? Am I to fill myself with the Spirit? Active. Is this an active verb in Greek? Or am I to let the Spirit fill me? All right? Well, answer number two. I am to let the Spirit fill me. That's clear. This is a passive Greek verb. In fact, it says, do not be drunk with wine. Guess what? That's passive too. It means something like this. Maybe I have a slide. Okay, yes. Do not allow, both of them are passive. Do not allow yourself to be drunk with wine, which is recklessness, but allow yourself to be filled. They're both passive. So what you're doing is you're allowing a different agent. Now we're going to find out the agent, and we're going to find out what the content is. What are we to be filled with? Who's doing the filling? Well, we're going to find that out from the language. But the issue here is the way to translate this correctly into English is with the passive voice, do not allow yourself to be drunk with wine, which is recklessness, but allow yourself to be filled. So it's you being filled from the outside. You're not, I got to fill myself with the Spirit. Okay, no. Your car, when you fill it up with gas, the car is passive. It's not grabbing the pump and doing, it's not doing the filling for you, okay? It's just sitting back and saying, it's getting filled with gas. All right, so that's issue number one. Okay, what about issue number two? Issue number two is this. Is the Spirit the content that we're filled with? Remember the water going into the cup? Is the Spirit the content that's getting dumped into us? Or is the Spirit the agent that's doing the dumping? How do we figure that out? Okay. All right. Well, I just said that. Is the Spirit what we are filled with? Or is the Spirit the one who does the filling? That's what we're asking here. Okay. Content or agent? Well, answer, there it is again, number two. Ding, ding, ding. The answer is the Spirit is the agent who fills you and I as believers. He's the agent. Now, the day you get saved, guess what? You not only, well, let me just say this. I got a list in my office I've been keeping over the years as I read the Bible, and I add to it if I get new ones that I haven't seen before. But right now I've got 53 things in my list that happen the very moment you get saved. 53 things, something like that, maybe more. That's a lot of things, but when you get saved, pretty much all you know is, I know I'm saved! Hallelujah! God saved me! That's what you know. But God said, oh, no. Man, listen, you just got written into my will. Glory to God. Hey, it's one thing to be in the rich person's will, that's one thing. But guess what? When you get written into God's will, glory to God. I mean, man, that's going to be glorious. And you say, what is that, Pastor Bob? Every person who's ever been saved, whether they live a good life after they're saved or not, guess what? They will be with God in the kingdom of God, seeing the glory of God for eternity. No more pain, no more suffering, no more sin. Right there. If all you did was to get saved, man, if all you did was get written into God's will, oh my goodness, it's the greatest, most unbelievable thing. But guess what? That's not all. You and I can lay up treasures in heaven. We can have great, great rewards there. Not just get into the party. You could be the one that's just getting lavished with gifts at the party because of your service for Christ. Gift isn't the greatest word, but you get the idea. Get lavished with rewards. Okay. So number two. We started talking about the word with, be filled with the Spirit. I said that is not the way to go. Dr. Daniel Wallace, he's a Greek expert. He said that the English word, he wrote a big grammar that's still used in colleges. He wrote a big Greek grammar that, in which he said, with in verse 18 is the most unlikely way to express agency or the cause for the filling. The word with should never have been used here. The correct word to use here is our word by. Don't be drunk with wine, which is recklessness, but be filled by the Spirit. Be filled by the Spirit. The Spirit's the one with the pitcher pouring into you some content. Now, I haven't told you what the content is. What's the content, Pastor Bob? Well, that's issue number three. What is it that the Holy Spirit wants to fill us with? Okay? Well, if you look at verses 19 through 21, we get some apparent results of when we're filled by the Spirit. We get to see what the content kind of looks like. What is a Christian who allows him or herself to be filled by the Spirit? What does that look like? Well, right away, Paul says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Notice the words I'm emphasizing up here. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another. Oh, I get it. The Spirit wants to fill us with the character of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that what we saw in 2 Corinthians 3:18, two sermons ago? But you all, with an unveiled face, beholding in the Word of God, in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, when you gaze at Jesus in the Word of God, when you hear about the character of Jesus in sermons like this, singing, making melody, giving thanks, submitting, the Holy Spirit is, as it were, pouring that into your heart. And if you allow it, remember, passive, allow yourself to be filled by the Spirit. You sit back, let Him pour that in you. Don't resist it. Don't say, not me. I'm not living that way. No. You accept it. Let the Spirit pour it into you, and you do that, and you do that, and you do that, and you do... Oh, my goodness, Gerald, what happens over 50 years? Man, you keep doing that, and the Spirit of God, it says in 2 Corinthians 18, you are being transformed from glory to glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. By the Spirit! Because He's the agent of our filling. He's the one... Listen, He'll pour it into you. He'll pour God's Word into you. He will use God's Word to transform your life. But you have to allow it. Number one, you can't do it yourself because it's a supernatural thing. You know, you can't take the Bible and say, I'm just going to study the Bible so much. Hey, listen, the Pharisees studied the Bible like gangbusters. The Pharisees were experts. They would memorize the whole Old Testament. They'd start with the Pentateuch, and they'd memorize that whole thing. Gerald, it's that thick. They were experts in the Word of God, but Jesus says, you know what? You search the Scriptures because you think that through that scroll there with words in it, you have eternal life, and you're missing the fact that they're talking to you about Me. You're blind as bats, Pharisees. And you know what? We can't make ourselves holy. We can't will it. I'm going to study the Bible so much. Now, hey, great guns. If somebody said that to me, I'd be jumping up and down and clapping. But I'm getting you the idea is this. When you open that Word, you just take it and you pray and say, Holy Spirit of God, fill me. Let the Word of Christ dwell in me richly in all wisdom. You get the idea. And in fact, that's where I was taking this, everybody. You know what? I was going to go through each of these points and kind of say something about each of these things. Can I just say it real quickly? I won't spend very much time on it at all. Okay, what is result number one? Result number one is that we're teaching and admonishing one another. Okay? Okay, so number one, you edify with your words. You allow the Spirit to pour the Word of God into you. Okay? You allow the Spirit to pour the Word of God into you. And let me go back one slide. This thing's not working too well. And you know what you do when the Spirit, you allow the Spirit to fill you? You start speaking to each other instead of trash talking, instead of gossip, instead of put downs. Ephesians 4:29, one chapter earlier, do not let any corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but that which edifies, that it may administer grace and encouragement to the hearer. You can encourage him and build him up. Building up is edifying. Tearing down is corrupt words. So first thing that's going to happen as you allow the Spirit to fill you with God's Word is you're going to be talking to others and trying to encourage them rather than talking about other people and putting everybody down and the things that you used to do. Okay? Gerald, I like the old song that the kids used to sing. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. I wish that were true. I wish that truly born again people let the Spirit of God fill them with the Word. Okay, so first you start speaking, and then look, next you start worshiping, singing and making melody. Singing and making melody. There's when I first got saved, there was a song that they would get up and sing. There's a new song in my heart since the Savior set me free. There's a new song in my heart. It's a heavenly harmony. I'll never forget that song. I was like, one or two Sundays after I got saved, I was sitting down there looking like Tarzan and smelling like the monkey. What was the monkey's name? Cheetah? No, what was it? Yeah, that's what I thought. I was looking like Tarzan and smelling like Cheetah, and you know, it was terrible. But anyway, I'm sitting down there and I heard them singing that song. Hey, listen, I probably got saved because I watched a bunch of grown men singing Amazing Grace a cappella. So don't tell me you don't have power in the song in your heart affecting other people. If you're walking around your office like this all the time, and you're just depressed and frumpy and everything, listen, you need to be the happiest person, and because of the Spirit. You know, I was listening to the Psalms this morning, Psalm 42, why am I depressed, O my soul? Why are you so discouraged? Trust in God. Trust in God. And yeah, if you're depressed, you get God's Word in your heart and let the Spirit fill you and dwell in you richly. And listen, that depression's going to go away. You're going to say, hey, I've got it great. I'm a child of God. I have eternal life. I'm on my way to heaven. Yes, thank you. you get the point. And you need to be the one with the song in your heart walking around. So you start speaking the right things to others. You're an encouraging person at work, in the home, in your marriage, so on and so forth. Not only that, you are worshiping God and you're lifting Him up. People, what? Hey, how come you're so happy? Okay. Singing, making melody, giving thanks. You're a thankful person. Think about that on the job. If you're always and you're complaining all the time, man, people don't want to be around you. Whew. Oh, like that person. Oh, my goodness. They complain about everything. You know, you give them a cup of coffee from Kroger's, they're mad because you didn't give them a cup of coffee from Starbucks. And finally, submitting. You know what? You're a humble person. You can be rebuked by others. You can take it on the chin and keep your head up and say, hey, thanks. I needed that. Okay. Do you want to demonstrate, Eula? You're slapping. Oh, no. Okay. I could have her come up and give me a good one here. Okay. So, anyway. So you guys are getting the idea, but I've got to show you. Say, Pastor Bob. How do you know that the content is the Word of God? How do you know that's the case? Okay. The parallel passage in Colossians, a letter to the Colossians. Paul doesn't say be filled with the Spirit. No. He says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. See, the Word of Christ is the content. The Spirit pours that into our hearts. Jesus said, you know, I love what Jesus said. Jesus said, let these things sink deep down into your ears. What he means by that is, hey, let this get inside of you. Let this transform you. And so, y'all, when you pick your Bibles up, you need to lift up a mighty prayer to God. God, I need to see Jesus today. I need to see the Lord in, as I read my Bible. And, you know, you get on fire and you want it to transform you, and He will. Let the Word of Christ. Notice, let it. Passive. Let it. It's got power. Let it in. Let it do its work. Let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Oh, what happens if you do that? Don't be drunk, but be filled by the Spirit. What happens? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace. Well, man, that sounds awful familiar. Yeah. Because what Paul's saying in Ephesians, you know what the book of Ephesians is? In the book of Ephesians, Christ is the head of the church, and we are the body, right? The emphasis is on Jesus is the head, but the emphasis is on we are the body. In Colossians, it's Christ is the head, and we are the body. In Ephesians, it's Christ is the head, and we are the body. But you know what the problem is in America today? The head is healthy. The head is adult. The head is mature. The head is 21 years old. And the body is 4 years old. We got a fully grown head and 2-year-old and 4-year-old bodies. You say, Pastor Bob, why are you ducking down? You could just walk normally. But you understand what I'm saying. Isn't that the truth? The body is weak and emaciated because it hasn't let God's word in properly. Jesus says, you know what happens to us? The cares of this life, busyness, that word cares actually means worries, the worries of this present age, things that don't matter, get people all tied up in knots. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. Well, I got to work. Putting God down on the totem pole and putting work at the very top. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and other things entering in choke the word. And they become unfruitful. It chokes the word and there's no fruit. Later in Ephesians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That fruit of the Spirit. But everybody, I just wanted you to understand, when you're reading what Paul says here, it's talking about the agent of filling. In your Bibles, put the word by in the margin. In fact, many of your Bibles will already have it, because this isn't new. I didn't invent this. Okay? There's been a lot written, a lot of ink. Last night I said, hey, I'm going to look this up in this Greek grammar. And I look it up, and I'm like, page after page after page on one verse. Going into all the nuances, just to follow up on what I wrote earlier in the week. But anyway, the Word of Christ, everyone. So, where does that take us? Okay, where does that take us? Okay, let's see. That takes us to our application. I'm going to give you the application and then a short story, and we're done. Okay. Do I have to emphasize it again? The last two messages, 2 Corinthians 3:18, last week, James 1:19 through 25, last week, don't look in the mirror, forget what you look like. So in Corinthians, you look in the mirror of the Word of God and you see Jesus. James 1, you look in the mirror of the Word of God and you see the real you, who I am in Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the light of the world. I'm the salt of the earth. You see who you really are. That transforms your life. See, if you keep looking in the mirror of God's word and you shut it, you forget that you are more than a conqueror. You say, no, I'm really a loser. I can't do anything right. I'm so worthless. You keep thinking like that, and guess what? You'll become what you think. And so the last two times we've seen how the Spirit uses God's word, and here it just comes out in all of its glory. Be filled by the Spirit. With what? God's word. Because you'll start singing, worshiping, submitting. Great things will happen. All right? And so I can't tell you enough here at the application point. is God's word. You know what? Guess who I got to hear a few years back? I got to hear the coach of the University of Colorado, right down at Watermark. I sat 5 feet. I sat like in the first row, I think, or maybe the second row. And I can't, does anybody remember his name? Bob, do you remember the coach? I mean, he's a world famous. I just can't remember his name right now. The coach of the University of Colorado. Well, anyway. Yes, Bill McCarty. Yeah. Okay. This guy is a on fire Christian. Man, I mean, what he does with his players and just encouraging them and blessing them. Well, he stood there and talked to all these pastors, and he said, "Pastors, get your people in the Word of God." And he talked about how he loved the Word of God. And he says, "You need to get them in the Word. That's what the problem is. They're emaciated. They need to get strong and get the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word." Man, he just poured his heart out for an hour, yelling at, yeah, get in the Word and stay in the Word. And you know what? We need that, everybody. And again, you know what? I'm not really big on yelling and screaming and everything like that, but you know what I mean. We need to have passion and to get in it. All right, the story. Let's see. Come on now. Oh, okay. This is about some deer, mule deer, okay? This is a story about mule deer. Potato chips, cheese curls, candy may be some of your favorite things to eat. But for a few mule deer in Arizona's Grand Canyon National Park, these foods proved to be deadly. Park rangers had to kill over 24 mule deer because they became hooked on junk food left by the visitors. Once the deer gets a taste of the sugar and the salt, they develop an extreme addiction, which will go to any lengths to eat only junk food. The result is the animals ignore the food they need to thrive, leaving them in poor health and on the edge of starvation. Remember, emaciated body? Because of junk food cravings, the deers lose their natural ability to digest vegetation. One park ranger called the junk food, and this is a quote, "the crack cocaine of the deer world." They are addicted just like a heroin addict is addicted. Or a coke freak. And you know what? Last time I preached, I talked about the dangers of allowing ourselves to be filled with junk. Okay? I'm not saying don't watch TV, don't watch movies. But let me just say this, everybody. There's a lot of movies that children of God watch. You say, "Pastor Bob, how do you know?" Because they post it on Facebook. I just am amazed. I sit there and scratch my head sometimes when I see what people post on Facebook, because I think, do you realize that your pastor is your Facebook friend? I'm not a Catholic priest, but man, this sure sounds like a confession. I'm not kidding. And you know what? A lot of God's people, you know what? Obviously, you know, like, listen, I've watched movies, the war movies, listen, there's movies where the language isn't always the best and everything, but that's far different from watching stuff that's just filled with overt lust and sensuality and garbage and you know, just garbage. And you know what, everybody? We need to realize that what we need to allow the Holy Spirit, this is the active voice on the screen. He's pouring it in himself. He's filling himself. That's active. We need to sit back, open our minds, and let the Spirit pour His Word in. Because without that, you know what I mean? Just the billboards and the commercials and the garbage on the radio and TV, that's and Facebook, that's enough. That's enough garbage as it is, you know? And so I just want to warn everybody that this present world system, it's got its tasty junk food that people crave. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. And people don't ever open the Bible. They never let God's Word dwell in them richly. And so we have to have a new look at God's Word. Okay, let's bow our heads for prayer. And I'm going to have you just meditate for just a second here. Okay, so bow your head and close your eyes. And just ask yourself the question, if the Lord Jesus was to step into my living room this afternoon and say, "Child of mine, have you been giving me time to fill you with my word? Have you been giving the Spirit of God time to fill you with my word? If Jesus came and asked you that, how would you answer him? How would you answer him? Father in heaven, I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to be people of the word. Lord, we have a lot of activities and things going on at the church that are very important and very good, but Lord, if we drop the ball and we mess up the most important thing, Lord, then we're not going to be effective. And so, Lord, may your word dwell in us richly in all wisdom. And help us to never forget that we are to allow ourselves to be filled by the Spirit with his wonderful word. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. All right.